This was a triumph. I'm making a note here, huge success. It's hard to overstate my satisfaction.
Don't recognize that? Well, it's the theme song for beloved indie video game Portal. It's a first-person puzzle game where the player teleports between flat planes. When Portal first came out back in 2007, it struck a chord because it was, and in fact still is, so different. It's not a first-person shooter. Critics couldn't stop raving about it. It won Game of the Year at the Developers' Choice Awards. Wired magazine called Portal one of the most influential games of the 2000s. And what's really interesting is that Portal started out as a student project. Portal designer Kim Swift was the leader of the team right here in the Seattle area. Kim Swift is now studio creative director at Airtight Games in Redmond. I sat down with her in October, and she started out by explaining how Portal works and how a student game turned into a blockbuster hit.
In college, we made this game, Narbacular Drop, which is the precursor to Portal. And the premise is you have two interconnected portals. So you have Portal A and Portal B. And if you look in Portal A, you can see out of Portal B and vice versa. And then if you go in through Portal A, you'll come out Portal B, and once again, vice versa. And you can move these portals dynamically anywhere you want them. And so you use them as a tool to solve these different puzzles and challenges.
And I mentioned it looked like an M.S. Escher painting. You say a lot of people have noticed that about
it. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's really, the whole premise was to really just kind of break your brain in how you process 3D space.
So your guys are at DigiPen Institute of Technology, and you come up with this game, but you're still students. How did you make the connection to Valve, which actually put it out as a real game?
Every year, DigiPen has, for graduating seniors, this student job fair. And so they bring in people from game studios all across the country to come and take a look at student projects, take a look at their resumes, maybe do some impromptu interviews. And so some people from Valve had come over and taken a look at Narbacular Drop, as I said, that precursor to Portal. And they thought it was really interesting and said, hey, why don't you come and talk to us at some point? We're like, okay. You know, cut to about a week later, we decide, okay, we're going to talk to these guys. We're going to do it.
And we should point out that Valve had done Half-Life 2, which was a huge, hugely popular video game. So this is like Hollywood coming knocking in.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, they're a big deal in the game industry. And here we are, these lowly students that don't know anything, and we're like, oh my god, they want to talk to us. So we came in, we thought, oh, we're just gonna maybe present to a couple of guys and they'll pick us apart and, you know, we'll deal with it.
Yeah.
But, you know, they end up bringing in, I don't know, 20 something people, and we're just like, oh, this is no good. And then Gabe Newell, who is the CEO of the company, walks in, and we're like, oh wow, no, this is really not good. Oh my gosh. So we're terrified. After about 15 minutes of us doing the walkthrough, Gabe stops us and asks what we're planning on doing when we graduated. And we're like, well, hopefully getting jobs and paying off our student loans. That'd be great. I like money. And he's like, okay, you know, wait here. And so he grabs a few people and he leaves the room, and cut to another 15 minutes later.
And now you're thinking, maybe it's not so bad as you thought it was.
Yeah. We're starting to get a little...
Maybe it's good after all.
Maybe it's awesome. So, you know, he brings us into another conference room and sits us all down and says, okay, I'd like to offer you guys jobs to take this game and use the source engine and port it over and create a game.
How did they polish what you did to make it into the Portal game that so many people ended up playing? Were there big differences in how it ended up coming out?
Yes. I mean, we had a lot of tools available that we didn't have as students. So one of the things that was a requirement for us in school was that we make our own engine, which is...
Yeah, explain what an engine is.
So it's almost like the foundation and the, you know, studs of a house, right, where you can kind of build things on top of it. So it's got a game loop that has physics in it. It's got, you know, basic functionalities and handles graphics. So it's what every game company is going to be building something on top of. At Valve, they have their own proprietary engine called Source. So we were able to take this engine where there was a lot of stuff that existed already and build on top of it, which made, made for a stronger game because we had more tools at our disposal.
Well, there was a real clever marketing thing that was also done when Portal first came out. Valve put out something called the Orange Box, and it included their big first-person shooter game, Half-Life, and some other material, and Portal. It was kind of an add-on game to this box, which you were telling me was sort of not initially just going to be a little extra thing, but it turned out to be a big hit.
Yeah, yeah. We always thought we were just going to be, you know, just this little add-in, pack-in, you know, perk to the Orange Box, and we were not expecting the reception that we got for the game.
It really took off, didn't it?
Yeah, it kind of scared us.
When did you know, oh boy, I've got a hit game that I helped develop? When did it occur to you that it was really working?
So, I mean, towards the end of the project, my team and I realized that we had something good. But having something good doesn't always translate to popularity or translate to sales. And, you know, that happens time and time and again in our industry where something will be, you know, ranked really high and reviewed really high, but won't necessarily catch on to the public. And so we knew we had something good, but we didn't know how it would relate to other people.
And it related extremely well. Kim Swift is my guest. She was the leader of the team that developed the video game Portal. She's now studio creative director at Airtight Games in Redmond. Let's take it way back. What kind of games do you like making?
I like making all games. I don't know. I play all sorts of different types of games, and so I kind of like making all sorts of different types of games. I'm definitely attracted to making puzzle games. I've made a couple of them. But the game that we're working on right now called Soulfjord at Airtight is rhythm roguelike. So it's a music game crossed together with kind of a dungeon crawler. Mm-hmm. And it's this 70s funk meets Norse mythology theme. So it's really out there.
You were telling us that at heart you just like to make toys. And there are toys and then there are educational toys that supposedly teach us something. Do you draw a distinction?
I mean, as far as what I am making, you know, if I can teach something, that's fantastic. Yeah. But it's harder to teach people something than you would think it would be. And so for me, I just want to make things that are fun and allow us as adults to imagine. I think it's really important, and it's something that we kind of lose in our adulthood, and it's no longer socially acceptable to imagine and dream and think of weird, wacky situations. It's not okay. Mm-hmm. But what games and movies and books do is give us a socially acceptable means to imagine and use our brain creatively and talk about it at the water cooler without someone staring at us like we're nuts.
I've heard a great game described as something that you have to work at, but you really enjoy working at it because you need to make it difficult but not too difficult. And so you need to find this interim for it. But many people in education are blown away by games because usually they don't come with extensive instructions. Mm-hmm. So you actually teach yourself it by enjoying the gameplay, which is kind of an amazing aspect of it.
Yeah, and a lot of testing goes into that. You know, one of the things that I really believe in when making games is having, like, sitting somebody down that hasn't played before and you tell them nothing. You just say, play. And then you watch what they do, and just by their actions of, like, what are they looking at, where are they running to, what are they poking at, you learn a great deal about how you've composed your game to communicate. As game designers, we ultimately are trying to communicate to our player as subtly as possible so they feel like it's something that they've discovered. And that kind of delicate manipulation takes a lot of testing, a lot of testing.
Kind of a blessing in your career, Kim Swift, is that right out of the chute, you had this giant hit game. Will you feel as though, will you feel a letdown if you don't have something that tops Portal or does as well as Portal looking forward?
I don't think about that because that's a really good way to crush creativity. I'm also not a very competitive person. I'm not really competitive with other people. I'm not competitive against myself. I am just trying to do my job and have a good time and hopefully put out games that people enjoy.